Every single Catholic priest, both in the past and in the present, has, believe it or not, the power to grant you at the moment of death, in the words of Father Ripinger himself.
And that's basically the beauty of it is getting a plenary indulgence, since it goes into effect at the time of your death. It's essentially a get out of purgatory free card.
Now, the tragic thing is how few people know about this, how many priests there are that possibly don't even believe in this or use this. And despite the fact that I've probably made 300 to 500 videos on purgatory, I've never once talked about this particular subject, which probably shows the current church's understanding of this. We're going to talk about what this is, and is there a catch? What is that catch? This and more in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, I'm going to explain it right away. We're going to get into it. We're going to read you the words so that you can hear it, what it is, what are the conditions, everything that you need to know about the apostolic pardon. Here are the words of the prayer. Now, these are the prayers, or the prayer that a priest says to you at the moment of death. We're going to talk about what all that means. Here it is. By the authority which the Apostolic See has given me, I grant you a full pardon and the remission of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, okay, there's a lot of things that we need to talk about. First thing is, prayers do what the words say. The words signify a reality. And in the past, we really would understand this. For instance, Lord, grant us this, forgive this, cast this out, heal this. We would pray in a way that was more commanding, where it was action prayer, asking God to do a specific thing or for a specific thing to happen. You see this, for instance, in the Our Father, forgive us our sins, give us this day our daily bread. We're asking these kind of commanding prayers, do this, make this happen, have this happen. There is an action-oriented sense to our prayer. Now, kind of in modern prayers, which I personally find really cheesy, you don't really see that. Some of them are hardly even asking for anything. They're just sort of descriptive. They're just sort of like, Lord, remember when and when this happened and you did this and you did that. It's like this essentially prayer reminding God of things, and we don't need to remind God of anything. But it's essentially to teach the people praying things about the faith. It's really absurd. And if you look at the prayer, they aren't even asking for anything. Now, this prayer, which remains largely the same as it was pre-Vatican II, is different. It's asking for a specific thing, and we want to talk about this. Now, when we talk about judgment, there's two things that we need to know: sin and punishment. Sin is something that you are guilty or not guilty of. If you are in that state of sin or guilty, you go to hell. This is if you are unrepentant of your sins. There is the sin that you're punished for, and you're guilty, you go to hell. If you're repentant of your sins and you're asking God for forgiveness, then you're not guilty. But then there's punishment. Then you can go to purgatory, or if you have no punishment needed at all, to heaven. What is this? These are kind of the theological distinctions. Sin takes you to hell if you have it, yes or no. Punishment takes you to purgatory or to heaven. Yes, purgatory, no punishment needed, you go to heaven. So punishment is what we talk about when we talk about penance. So for instance, that's why when you go to confession, the priest absolves you of your sins, but still gives you a penance to deal with the punishment. This is where you can do penances, prayers, fastings, all these types of things. Now, what this prayer is doing is to release you of the punishment. In the same way that the Divine Mercy Promise, isn't specifically about releasing you of sin. That's why you go to confession before or on the day of Divine Mercy. The Divine Mercy Promise and this is about releasing you from the punishments, from all need to go to purgatory, a get out of purgatory free card. That's why the words say, grant you a full pardon, like totally gone. Remission of your sins. There's another version that says, may Almighty God release you from all punishments, using the word that I'm talking about, that word being a theological reality of the thing that you need to go atone for and be cleansed of in purgatory. That's what it means by punishments, from all punishments in this life and in the life to come. And then it literally says, may he open to you the gates of paradise. We're not just saying pretty words. The prayers are asking for something specific. They are signifying the reality that they will give you. open the gates of paradise. It's essentially, you could say, the promise of St. Dismas, exactly what Jesus says to the good thief. Amen, amen, I tell you, this day you will be with me in paradise. That's what this prayer is. So is there a catch? What needs to happen for you to receive this? So there are essentially three things that need to sort of coincide. There is another condition that I finally found on EWTN.com. When you look up about this prayer, a lot of times they don't explain things. So the first thing is it has to happen at the moment of death. Now, this is a prayer that when the priest says it, it takes effect as soon as you die. So if they show up 2 weeks before, they say this prayer, 2 weeks later you die, at the moment of death, it imparts what it says that it will, that full pardon. Okay, so first of all is you have to die in a way that is sort of convenient with receiving this prayer. So for instance, if you die a sudden death, a priest can't go visit you. If you die in a car crash, if you have a heart attack and die suddenly, like there's a whole host of ways that you can die where a priest won't be able to grant you this. So if you think about this, you hear this and you think, easy peasy, right? No, not that easy. You have to die in a way that's compatible with the priest arriving, you know, the way that we typically think that we're all going to die, you know, in our bed, peacefully at home or at a hospital. That doesn't always happen. So first of all, that has to happen. That's why it's important that we ask for the grace of a happy death. What's the grace of a happy death? That's a grace where we can receive the blessing of the church, the Eucharist, anointing of the sick, and the apostolic pardon. That's the grace of a happy death, not just a nice death, but where we can receive these particular graces. The second thing is you need a priest at the time of death, or at least a week or two before you die. You need a priest, not only a priest, but a priest that believes in this stuff. Often it's the case that they don't. They just think everyone's going to heaven, so they don't even worry about this. Everything's fine. You need a willing priest of faith. We cannot take that for granted. The third thing is that you need cooperative family members. I've read of stories that are used to be horror stories, but now are really the reality of people that really are instruments of the devil, and they're getting in the way. They don't call for a priest. They don't do anything. They literally sit there and leave you to whatever the state that you're in. So you need a death that's sort of compatible with this, like in the hospital or at home, a priest that is willing and a faith that will actually do this, and then family members that will facilitate this happening. For those three things to converge, not that easy. You have to, live a life that facilitates those three things happening, where you have these conversations with your family members, where you're living a life of faith, where you're asking God for the grace. Sometimes God, in his justice, does not allow this because a person is someone who lives a life of sin and thinks at the last moment they're going to get this pardon and everything is fine. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That it's not that simple for these three things to kind of coincide in your life. Now, the last thing is here on EWTN.com, they specify another sort of general thing. That, listen to this. So normally with an indulgence, there are certain conditions. In such a situation, the three usual conditions required in order to gain a plenary indulgence. What are those three usual conditions? That you do this action, prayers for the Pope, that you went to confession recently, and that you completely detach from sin. They are substituted for by the condition, provided they regularly prayed in some way. Now, this could mean practically anything. This could mean that you just do the Angel of God prayer every day. We don't know what this means, but that you essentially are living your faith in some way. Now, in light of these things, what can we think? We need to be educated about this. This is amazing. God, I think, wants us to have this so that we can have less anxiety about our moment of death, that we could know, okay, the church is giving us something to take care of even purgatory. Why? So that you could be lazy and live a life of sin and do nothing with the rest of your life? No. What's the purpose of this? So you can say, Lord, thank you for taking care of that. I don't even have to go to purgatory because I have this. And now you can live a life of praying for the souls in purgatory because you don't have to worry about you. You can worry about others, living a life of holiness so as to bring people to God, to convert other people. And although this prayer may free you from purgatory, it doesn't affect the place that you will have in heaven. This is something that people forget about. They think a lot and only about getting out of purgatory, not going to purgatory. You should want more. You should want to be holier, because the holier that you are, the higher place in heaven that you will have. So we should not only strive to not go to purgatory, we should strive to have the highest place in heaven. Why? Because heaven's like a concert. I'm actually going to a concert tonight with my family members. Maybe I'll play some video of it right here. But if you have a front row, it's better. You can, everyone in the concert hears the music, but not everyone has the same experience. So likewise in heaven, everyone in heaven experiences God, but not everyone has as intense an experience as God wanted them to have, or as was possible. Strive to have the highest place in heaven. You will thank me for doing this. Suffer as much as possible, pray as much as possible, get as many souls in purgatory at as possible, and don't let anxiety get to you, because God is granting us the apostolic pardon. Ask for the grace to die in a way that's convenient for you to receive this. Get to know your local priest and build friendships with them so that they could be the ones that give it to you, and talk to your family members so that they can be helpful and responsible in allowing all this to happen. God is good, and he gives us so much mercy through our church. My friends, if this has helped you in any way, please subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. And as always, I do want to remind you of one of the sponsors of this channel, PurgatoryProject.org, an amazing way for you to register your deceased loved ones, to have them prayed for, to pray for your own, for you to pray for others. Awesome work. Check out this site. I'll see you in the next one.